59, 95, 6, 7.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, something spectacular happened. I finally got to show my dad The Force Awakens. We have thoughts! Also, inside secret sauce from the filming of Episode 8. We're talking to the folks on the ground as filming gets underway. Let's do it here on this episode of the Star Wars Report Podcast.
Falcon Flight with Destiny!
Here it is, folks. It is the Star Wars Report Podcast. Welcome, one. Welcome, all. I'm so glad to be here. I'm Riley Blanton, your host for this week's podcast. I'd like to welcome to the program my good buddy and yours is Mr. Mark Harleman. Well, I had to move fast there.
Good morning, Alderaan!
Wait, where's Alderaan?
What happened to Alderaan?
Oh, too soon? Too soon, folks? Maybe, just a little bit. Welcome. It is the Star Wars Report Podcast, episode 213. Like I say, I'm Riley, your host, and my co-host here, Mark. We're ready. We're ready to go. We've got a jam-packed show for you, and we've got a big, buzzing live audience. Thanks to everybody tuning in at StarWarsReport.com/live. Really appreciate you guys joining in, and I'm super excited about tonight because right out the gate, want to thank everyone who's supporting us, including our brand new patrons. We've got a couple of brand new ones. We're going to get some shout outs in shortly. I don't have them in front of me, but thanks to everyone who's jumped on Patreon. We are actually tonight, as we record this live, we're getting ready to do our very first 22-minute Rebels commentary here for the live folks and for everyone supporting us on Patreon. So if you want to do so as well, you can support us at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. But enough about that. Let's get straight into the episode. I saw Star Wars. I mean, that should come as no surprise to you guys. But I saw Star Wars with a very special person, and that was my dad. And so it's interesting. He's not been here in these United States for some time, but he is here. And I think we mentioned this on last week's podcast episode that we were planning to see it. We didn't see it until Thursday night. Yeah, last night. Is today Friday? Wow.
Are you ready to record tonight?
Maybe it was Wednesday night.
Really, no,
it was
Friday
Wednesday.
Already?
Yeah, it was Wednesday night. Wednesday night. Of course, we saw it. Had a great old time. It was my 8th screening. So I think we're going to get to 10. I think it's going to happen, Mark. 10 screenings. What are you at now?
I really think I'm close to 22. I'm going to try to take my daughter back again to watch it one more time to round it. I took her to see Deadpool last night. Now I got to kind of bring it back to PG and PG-13 level of family fun films.
You've seen it 22 times?
I want to say I'm about there. Yeah. Well, once I got the movie pass.
That's right. Of course.
Yeah. I've been spending pretty much every Sunday at the theater. Like, so last Sunday I watched, my wife took pity on me and paid for three of them to watch it. So I didn't have to watch it multiple times, but we all went and saw Zootopia. Then I took my son to see Kung Fu Panda 3. Then my oldest to see Kung Fu Panda 3. Then me and my wife saw Deadpool. Then me and my son went and watched Star Wars again. So I came and went to eat.
It's movie heaven at the Hurlman household. Yeah, no, it's movie heaven at the Hurlman household. That's amazing. That is absolutely incredible. But yeah, it's that one of those times I thought I was doing well, but that's the way it goes. So yeah, we saw it, and I'm feeling comfortable with it now, right? I'm at the point where I'm very so familiar with it that it's kind of beginning to edge its way into the pantheon of kind of filling that comfort Star Wars movie hole in my heart. So it was a nice, comfortable screening. My dad's first two questions right out of the gate, which I was so happy about, was one, so what's Rey's relationship with Luke? Which I was like, yes! because that's exactly what we were all asking when we watched it. And the second one was, when I asked him what he thought, is here's was the like the one sentence review version. And it was, wow, it was really good. I really enjoyed it. And it, you know what? It was a nice tribute to the original. And now they can go on with the next one and do all kinds of new things and go off and on all kinds of new directions. And I thought, thank you. You know what? I'm sticking with the Riley's Dad review from here on out. To all of you haters who say it's just a remake, well, you're wrong. Because my dad said, by the way, that's the most like eighth grade thing ever. My dad said it's great.
Eighth grade. You are a little out of touch. No, I would say closer to fifth. Eighth grade. That's when you get a call going.
That's true.
So your son got in a fight today at school. And then when you ask him, he's like, well, it's because he said that you said that this wasn't as cool as you said it was.
Yeah. My dad said... Oh, man.
But
so
your dad's right. Tell your sister your dad was right.
Exactly. Well, and then I also want to say this. There was one thing that I really noticed the eighth time, and I've noticed it the last couple times, but the most inconsistent performance for me is Adam Driver's, because he has some moments of sheer brilliance, like the death scene at the end, absolutely incredible, right? It's just so perfectly executed.
I've come around on him. I mean, I that's a character. When you talk of just Kylo Ren's character, that was one that I wanted to like right out the gate.
Yeah, but and you had some hard times up front.
I came away, you know, based on the major end of that movie, I was really hating on that character. So much so my daughter was like, did I make a mistake when she got me a Kylo Ren poster for Christmas? But, you know, through all the rewatches, it's him that I'm really coming around to the most.
Yeah.
It's one of those... The more I watch how he reacts to Rey, especially with that added info that I talk about, you know, from the audiobook and reading the book, but adding all that to how he plays those moments when he's with Rey and when he's with his father, I really come around to digging Adam Driver and his ability as an actor. Like, oh, man. In fact, what's funny is I got a kid I work with named Jeremiah, and we started calling him Kylo Ren now because they kind of share the same kind of look. And we're like, dude, you're totally Kylo Ren.
Nah, yes, nice. Yeah, but so and so I was right there with you. He was probably, again, like the most inconsistent performance. I've come to really enjoy aspects of the performance, but there are certain lines that are just really a little flat. I mean, I'm not going to lie. And I figured it out this time, because there's a reason they got Adam Driver for this role, because he is a thespian. He's a very talented actor that can portray intricate emotions really well. And I can't just believe that, well, he's a few flat lines. What are you going to do? I just don't think that's the case. You can say that with the prequels. I just don't think that's the case. But speaking of the prequels, here's what I noticed. I was like, I'm going to give you a line, Mark, and you tell me who it reminds you of from the prequels. Are you ready?
Let's do this.
All right. All right. Here we go. We're not done yet.
Ooh.
All right. Well, so we're not done
yet. I
wanted
to say Jar Jar, but I was like, that's not Jar Jar.
No. In fact, I'm going to actually, because I refuse to say it until Mark guesses it, because otherwise it proves my theory wrong.
It's almost like I want to say Padme because of the way you deliver it, but it definitely has that
we're not,
I hate sand kind of feel to the
you.
Way it's coming out.
Yes, you are exactly right.
It's not quite, are you an angel?
He has the exact same cadence in many of his lines that Hayden Christensen does. You can't make this stuff up. Like, but it's never not as much when he has the mask, but when he's without the mask. He has this sort of dry cadence in his delivery that reminds me of the great thespian Hayden Christensen.
Well, and it's funny too that you mentioned these prequel connections, because like when Sidious got shocked with his own lightning and, you know, you see the Sith face revealed and stuff, you know, everybody always thought that was goofy because it quite, you know, most people didn't understand what was going on there. You know, the dark side corrupted him when it was bounced back at him and that kind of thing. And you have similar with Kylo Ren when he's punching the wound that Chewie gave him. A lot of people that don't understand what's going on, you know, they're giggling. They're like, look at this dork over here slapping himself. Like, what's he doing? Like, no, dude, he's fueling his dark side. Like, you got to have a little understanding, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I just pulled up some quotes from the handy dandy IMDb. And so if you remember, of course, here we go. Let me find it here. And there are even some moments when he's under the mask where he sounds like it. Like, look how old you've become, right? He sort of has that cadence. But especially in this line, in this scene when he says, it's carrying a section of the navigational chart, and we have the rest, recovered from the archives of the Empire. We need the last piece, and somehow you convinced the droid to show it to you. You. A scavenger. He kind of has that choppy cadence. And so that's kind of what struck out at me. That's what I noticed.
What that's weird too, because now that you say that, like that cadence really stands out when he's got the mask on, especially.
I think so.
Yeah, the way he delivers all the lines when the mask are on are on point, like what you're saying with him being Anakin, not Anakin as Vader yet, but as, you know, the I just want to date this girl and I love her and my mom is being tortured, no one will let me see her and I hate sand.
Yeah, no, or as Anthony points out in the chat, maybe he's just trying to sound like his hero.
Show me again
the power of the poorly performed dialogue.
Well, I mean, you think about it, like Rebels shows us that there are some holograms of Anakin that have made it out. I know Legends has shown us some when, you know, the hero of the Clone Wars and the Bantooine race of the Bantooine Classic or whatever the pod race scene was there. But maybe that is the case. Maybe it is a little hero worship. I mean, I remember not so far back in the distant past when Starship Troopers came out, I was parting my hair to the other side to look more like Johnny Rico because Johnny was suave.
There you go. Now, Mark, I hear you encountered something interesting that you need to tell us about before we hit the news.
This is true. But this is so big, it kind of requires some theme.
Something along the lines
Some mood music or something to set the tone.
You could say maybe something along the lines of a Walking Dead, perhaps.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. So what do you got, Mark?
So, I was recently, like 3 days ago, held up in a robbery.
What?
Yeah.
What?
And so this is literally my telling Riley for the first time, unless you've been paying attention to my Facebook.
I have not seen
which
this.
All I said on Facebook was, if you've heard, quote, I'm okay. And that's all I can say was how I left it on Facebook. But seeing as how this is a Star Wars podcast, I really don't think many people are going to be paying that much attention to it. So I'm going to dish a little gossip here.
Oh. All right, Mark, what you got?
Yeah, so, you know, we're talking, I guess this was Tuesday night. I was on my shift for about 2 hours. I was in the middle of training some new kids that we got. And big, you know, we just moved to a new store. So we went from having no drive-thru to now we have got a drive-thru. Our business is booming. We're like one of the top stores in our state right now for business. It's just insane. And so we've got, you know, twice as many people than we normally have in the store around these times and all that kind of stuff. Normally it was just about me from about 7 o'clock till 11 when I close the store. Now I get out around 11:30 and someone else closes the store at 11. But there's also other people there. So, you know, I'm sitting there, we're training all these people and I'm kind of covering the front register and we get the little ding and I look up and I see somebody had walked in. And so I come running up there, you know, to do my thing, you know, hey, welcome to blah, blah, blah. And I come around the corner and I notice that this guy's wearing a bandana, a black bandana over his face. And at that moment, like, I've got an oven between me and him and the Bane that we've got all the food in and stuff. And so all I can see is just his head over the counter. And I'm immediately thinking, okay, this is either bad or really bad. I'm thinking bad in the aspect of, you know, this could be some meth head or something that's just trying to be warm and come inside and just going to be crazy. Really bad being, I think I'm about to get robbed. So I take another step, and as I come around the corner of our bane there, I see the guy's got a gun out. I'm like, oh, crap. So
Wait. You see this guy is holding an actual firearm with the assumed intent to rob you at gunpoint, and your thought is what? Oh, crap.
Yeah, pretty much. And what's odd is, like, as it's going down, I've you know, I'm the safety guy at our work, so I've given the, you know, robbery prevention speech. I've worked there 7 years, so in 7 years I've given the speech all the time, you know. And yet, when it's all going down, I still end up not paying attention to what the guy's wearing. Like, when I'm sitting there talking to the cops, I'm like, oh, he's wearing, like, a ski jacket. Like, I'm giving him, like, snow capades reports, you know, because we just got down from Klondike. I have no idea why, but I'm thinking, like, all the type of gear that this guy isn't wearing at all. I'm questioning myself. I'm like, dude, I don't even know. Like, I'm still thinking of the cleaning list. Like, it happened so fast. We're talking, like, maybe 30 seconds. But yeah, I mean, while it's going down, all I'm thinking is, I hope to God none of the people in the back come around the corner, because I've got four people in the back. Normally I don't have it. And this guy's sketchy, man. He's, like, bouncing all over the place. I'm like, oh boy. You know, and I don't even remember if he said anything to me about the money. I just remember him pointing at me and pointing at the register with the gun. And I was just like, you know, I started being, like, really super cool. Like, hey, do you need a bag? Is there anything else you need? I was just, like, completely out of my element. And yet everybody was giving me props. Like, you did that so well. You handled that perfectly. I'm like, all I was thinking was, please don't shoot me the whole time. I mean, and then I see my kids later, and I was like, I started to get emotional, because I'm like, I didn't even think of you guys. All I was thinking, I was purely selfish. I was like, just don't kill me right now. Like, you know, everything else, like, all hinges on that. Like, my wife will be mad. You guys will be sad. Like, just don't kill me right now, and we'll deal with why later.
That is insane. And this is, so 7 years at this fine establishment, and this is the first time this has happened.
This is the first time, yeah. And in our town, like, that kind of stuff doesn't happen that often either.
But it sounds like there is a stand-up pro, like a standard operating procedure for this sort of thing, at least from what you had. So you were somewhat, it sounds like you were fairly well equipped. Like, you were fairly level-headed.
When I was reaching for my till, I tried for the panic button. But, of course, again, it's a new store, so it wasn't in the location that it was before.
Oh.
So, like, I got to watch the video of it, and it's like, when I watched it, I was like, oh, that's what he looked like. Oh, okay, yeah, I was totally off. And then I watched myself come around the corner, and it's like immediate recognition. When I saw the gun, my hands went out. I was just like, oh, boy. And then I was just super quick. It was just like, give him what he wants, let him go, get him out of there. And then I was on the phone. Like, we've got this, like, list, like, you know, this picture thing where you're supposed to fill out, like, what's this guy wearing kind of stuff. And I've given this speech, you know, like I said, 1,000 times. You know, if it ever happens, God forbid, you run back there and you grab this thing and you write it down, because you're not going to remember what he looks like. And I was on the phone with 911. Then the cops, when they showed up, and I even pulled out paper and tried writing something down, because I knew I wasn't able to get back to that thing. And even then, like, I didn't, my description, when I looked back over the next day, I'm like, man, I was so off. And
what was
funny
is
I told my coworker, the one that's closing the store that night, I'm like, I need you to get some paper and write closed and put them on the door. So when we leave the store that night, we're sitting at the supervisor's laughing, and we're like, what? And we look over, the paper's blank. He taped blank sheets of paper on the door. He's like, man, it was crazy. I just was like, go, 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 get it done. But yeah. Yeah, that was definitely probably one of the craziest things I've had happen in my life, aside from near-death experiences in cars. But yeah, man.
That's insane. But I can say,
like, I got to save this for Riley. So
that is amazing.
Kind of fun.
I have one reaction, sir. And that reaction is, I'm just glad he wasn't wearing a Darth Vader mask. Oh, and that you're alive. That I was wondering why you asked me to cue up the Walking Dead music, and now I know why.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is I came home that night, you know, because I still had to go to the theater. We closed the store early, and then I'm like, I went home for 3 hours, and I'm like sitting there. My wife's trying to get me to relax. She's rubbing my shoulders, and I'm sitting there, and
I just kept thinking
of that moment.
Here's the real question. What did you watch?
Oh, we watched the 100.
Oh, well, there you go.
But I kept sitting there, and I kept thinking of that moment when I saw the gun in the guy's hand. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, oh no, no, no. And my wife's like, what? And I'm like, that moment was nothing. Like living through it, like it was intense as heck, but no one would have known how shook up I was because I went through it so fluidly. I'm like, but now I can't escape that moment of thinking, oh my God, he's got a gun. And then all the possibilities of what could have happened. That was the nightmare, is the afterward part. I'm just like, I can't stop thinking about this.
So Mark, despite the fact that I have been in ROTC now almost 3 years and gone through Air Force basic training, I have fired M9s. I'm semi-trained at least in the basic functions of the use of firearms. You've still experienced something far more intense than I've ever gone through, and that is actually being threatened at gunpoint. That is insane, sir. Yeah. That is absolutely insane. I can't think of any way to transition. That's just like the show is made.
Everybody in the back of the store, like, because my friend, he comes up and he's just like, he comes up as the guy's running out the door. So I'm even like 5 seconds later, dude, that guy might have just pulled his gun on both of us. But he's like, what's going on? And I'm like, we just got robbed. And he's like, what? I'm like, call the boss, man. I'm on 911. We just got robbed. Everybody in the back, none of them had a clue. I was like, no, I mean, and that's amazing. The thing, man. It happened. They talk about happening fast. I took maybe 30 seconds and it was all over.
That's amazing. That's
spun my world.
Probably quite newsworthy, more than anything that we've got to talk about. But I do feel like we do need to hit up a few news stories. Here we go.
We have something to report.
Composer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen, listen.
That's right, folks. Let's get into a couple news stories I wanted to hit up. The first one is, of course, we're in the countdown to The Force Awakens being released on Blu-ray. And, of course, they're teasing the behind-the-scenes and bonus features. We've got this really cool teaser for that table read bonus feature. Let's
hear it. This is going to be the first gathering of this original cast, new cast, this core group of people that were going to be part of making this movie. And we wanted to document it, but the most important thing was to hear it. Just as a fan of Star Wars, to see them all together was an incredible thrill.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Mm. Ah, that is so incredible.
You gotta wonder, though, because that sounded like Mark Hamill was saying the crawl.
It was.
Did he go, you know, Episode 7, The Force Awakens? Luke Skywalker is missing. What the? Wait, what?
Luke Skywalker. Well, I wonder. You have to believe that Mark Hamill was cutting up a little bit because, like, he's a great storyteller and he can really, really put some emotion into it. So the fact that he didn't have a major role in the film makes it perfect.
Did you see that great meme that's going around right now where it shows all of them at the table read with that first photo they showed of the casting where they're all sitting in that big circle, and then below it is a zoom up of Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill and the look on Hamill's face, and it's got the caption, "What am I even doing here right now?"
I did not see that. That is hilarious.
Oh, that was great. I'm like, yes, he didn't say one word. That's so perfect.
that's funny. It's coming right up. Of course, the digital release on April 1st, the actual Blu-ray release April 5th. We've got a special it's in the works, but we're working on a live purchase and unboxing and review of it that's coming up.
Have you decided which place you're buying yours from?
Oh, probably Target because of the bonus features.
That's me too. I'm like, yeah. Target's going to be murdered, man. Everybody's going to hit Target and everyone's going to have to settle for the other places. You're going to just see people just like, I'm getting Star Wars. Why such a melancholy face? Because they didn't get the Target one. Stay on Target.
Put this in the mild spoiler category, but Daisy Ridley says, and again, spoiler alert, 3, 2, 1, go. Up. Quote, obviously, hang on. Terrible Daisy Ridley impression coming in 3, 2, 1. Obviously, I wasn't Han Solo's daughter. Wait, I was going to remove the quotes because the Han Solo's daughter wasn't in quotation marks, and I didn't fully get out of character before I said Han Solo's daughter. But Daisy Ridley, in an interview with Entertainment Tonight, basically said no. So apologies to all of you, Raylo. Is that, wait, no, because that's only for romantic entanglements. But for the Ray Solo fans out there, from what she's saying in this interview, it sounds like that's not the case. And this is some of the first press she's done since the big press tour, being interviewed by Entertainment Tonight. Of course, they are hot in the middle of the Episode 8 filming right now. My interview with Brojdar Jukic from StarWarsDubrovnik.com is coming up with some insider sauce on the filming in Croatia. That's coming up after the news segment. But yeah, so no Rey Solo, Mark.
I'm conflicted on this one. Okay, I mean, I'm of the camp I want her to be Rey Skywalker, so her being Rey Solo is a good thing. But if we're confirming it this far out, that makes me worried because they're not going to do anything obvious. So if they're going to rule out Solo now, then that means she's obviously a Skywalker, which means she's obviously not a Skywalker. Why?
Great. That is amazing. So there is word, Mark, on the upcoming Han Solo spinoff film. Of course, we're still waiting for that Rogue One trailer. Come on, people. But while we're waiting for the Rogue One spinoff film this December, let's not forget December 2018, the young Han Solo spinoff movie, confirmed by Bob Iger in a recent investor call.
See, and that was news to me. I didn't know that one.
Yeah.
We were talking before the show, and, you know, I'm this is what I'm excited for. You know, I've said before, Han Solo is my favorite canon character. And, you know, after The Force Awakens, I actually kind of lean more towards liking Han's legend story a little bit better. And this is an opportunity for canon to tell a new Han story and give Han a new background, you know, break away from the mold. Maybe he was never part of the Imperial Army at all.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the closest he got to Imperial Army was while he was serving some detention time for some smuggling on a planet that had a Imperial outpost, and he ran across Chewie there. But I do kind of think I want it to be the how he gets the life debt with Chewie story. I think that's a story that deserves to be told in a movie.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that well, it makes perfect sense that Chewbacca would be a part of that origin story. The official quote is, Phil Lord and Chris Miller's 2018 standalone is, and I quote from Bob Iger in a conference call, an origin story about Han and Chewie. So you don't really get much more clear than that. I think your wish will come true, Mark, and we will see what the Han Solo origin is and how he met Chewbacca. I think that would be amazing. And of course, if you remember, Legends Universe, they met while Han Solo, I almost said Harrison Ford, was serving in the Imperial military. But again, nothing like that is set in stone anymore. The idea of Wookiees being slaves, though, is canon. So
yeah.
It would make sense, perhaps, that he does free Chewbacca from slavery, if that's the case. So,
and there's a multitude of ways that they could go about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's one of the things that's the most refreshing about it.
Absolutely.
You could ditch that whole angle, go, I mean, heck, he doesn't even have to be an orphan anymore. That's something like, when I think about that, I mean, he could have siblings. I mean, we're still going off the whole, well, his last name's Solo, so he's got to be an only child. I mean, he could be, you know, the product of some grim tragedy that ends up leaving him the only one. Or, you know, maybe he's got a brother out there. Who knows?
No, we'll find out. We will find out in December, probably 2018, or maybe spring. I don't know if they've confirmed the release date on that one quite yet. And finally, it's not really nothing much to say other than the fact that, of course, as I mentioned, episode 8 filming underway. Rian Johnson just posted a picture from the episode 8 set. It's very simple. It's just this sort of black and white filtered photograph of the Millennium Falcon cockpit. There we go. Pop kit. the Millennium Falcon cockpit. Say that five times really fast. And he quotes from this picture on his Tumblr. Hard to believe we're wrapping up this week. Week four. Hard to believe we're wrapping up week four already. It's just flying by. Director Rian Johnson said on his Tumblr, which I didn't know Rian Johnson had a Tumblr. The world we live in, Mark. The world we live in.
You know, I was looking at the pictures of that table read, too, and I was thinking, you know, what it must be like to just be sitting there in the process of. I mean, you know, you get those great documentaries that come with Lord of the Rings and stuff, and you get an idea of, you know, productions on that giant scale. And even though they're cranking out these movies right now in what seems to be, what, a 2 or 3 year small period, you know, impressive work so far with what we got in the first one. And I almost think the further out they keep planning these gives themselves more wiggle room and more time to start working on it now, even though they haven't told us. I mean, like, we only know about the Han and Chewie, you know, the young Han Solo movie. We don't know if the next one's going to be Boba Fett or Yoda yet. And yet, if those are the cases, I'm sure they're already working on that stuff before they've announced it to us.
Absolutely.
You're listening to the Star Wars Report. Don't get cocky.
All right, folks, it's time for, well, you know what it's time for. It's time for a little bit of Boba's Bounty.
It's worth a lot to me.
Let's do it.
As you wish.
As you wish. Mark, you kick us off this week. What you been doing Star Wars-wise?
Well, I've been, you know, keeping a little book on me at all times, but the other day, my daughter, she's hurt her foot and had a little minor fracture and then started not feeling her toes. We had to spend the night in the ER. Luckily, it wasn't as long as it could have been. But knowing it was probably going to be a 4 to 6 hour wait, I decided to grab the Essential Reader's Companion.
Ooh.
And I was thinking about it as I was rereading through it. It is really a great look for anybody out there that's curious about Legends but doesn't want to invest themselves too much. You know, it's the entire Legends universe for the most part. I don't think, like, Crucible, I don't think it's in there. There's a couple books that came out at the end that missed it, but it's got almost all of them there. It gives you great little summaries and synopses on them and stuff like that. I just think it's one of those really fun, you know, things that if you've never thought about reading Legends or you're curious about it and, you know, you think about all those books, the 368 or more books, and you start to panic, that one book at around $33 or $25 or maybe even $18 if you're a good online shopper, it's got it all there, aside from most of the comic stuff, but you can also get, they've got comics companions too, which do the same thing for the comics. So they're kind of cool. You know, if you're ever thinking about it, that's definitely a way to go about it that's cost effective.
There you go. There you go. An excellent choice, sir. And I have flipped through it. It's a great book. I want to actually put in something specific this week. It's not just Star Wars Rebels. It's the episode of Star Wars Rebels that we are about to, as we record this live, do our commentary on for Patreon. It's Star Wars Rebels Season 2, Episode 17, Shroud of Darkness. This... I have my share of problems with Star Wars Rebels. There are a lot of storytelling issues that I feel like that the show shouldn't have because it's so short and there's so little time. I think it does it a disservice when they don't tie it closely to the formation of the Rebellion and to the Empire crushing the Resistance and really get in deep with the Inquisitors and what's happening with Darth Vader. That's the kind of show I like. And sometimes they stray from it, but in this week's episode, man, they did not. Shroud of Darkness is a tour de force of Ahsoka's journey with Anakin, now Vader, of you know, Ezra's potential fall to the dark side, of Kanan's struggle to become what he sees as a Jedi Knight when he never fully received the training or passed his own rite of passage. It's like all of that wrapped into 22 minutes of pure awesomeness. It's Star Wars Rebels at its absolute best. So if you haven't caught up or anything, if you have one episode this season you should watch, it's Shroud of Darkness.
Yes, no, I will second that. There are some other good ones out there in this season, especially if you've been fans of the Clone Wars. But this one, I think for me the thing I like the most about it is it kind of gives you an idea of what happened to Ahsoka after the Clone Wars because of some choice phrases that she says especially. But I think one of the things, too, that really excited me was the shocking background of one of the dark side characters from season one. I think – I don't know about you, man, but when I watched this one 3 different times so far, and I hadn't watched it with my daughter yet because, you know, we're doing some podcasting together for Rebels Roundtable. And so when we did watch it, I was talking with her and my wife was there. It was my second time watching it with my wife. But, dude, I think I got choked up 3 or 4 different times just talking about, you know, the backgrounds of what was going on and, you know, the headspace, especially with Ahsoka. The headspace of Ahsoka when she's inside the temple was just awesome. Yeah, I mean, I with you 100% on that. That is probably one of the best episodes to give you an idea of what's coming and what's going with Rebels. That one's definitely gives you the full meal deal.
Oh, there you go. Absolutely.
This is the Star Wars Report Podcast. John Williams is the man.
Folks, it's time for a special segment featuring our friends at StarWarsDubrovnik.com. Spoilers ahead as we go behind the scenes of Star Wars Episode 8. Let's do it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let it not be said that that I would ever break a promise, because we had him on a couple weeks ago getting ready for the insanity that is proceeding with the Episode 8 shooting, which is exactly what it's doing. Episode 8, rolling film right now in Dubrovnik, Croatia, and we want to have the inside scoop of what's going on the ground from StarWarsDubrovnik.com. It's Brojdar Jukic. How's it going, Brojdar?
Hi there. Hi, Rally. It's going great. It's going great. We're all very tired and very excited at the same time.
I bet. I bet. Got you on the phone, man, I was just looking at the site. You guys have been crazy busy.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I mean, today marks the official start of the actual filming. They closed the sets down 2 days ago. But they said, 9th and 10th of March will be final rehearsals. And the 11th is the start of the filming, which is today. So as we are talking, the filming is in progress because they're doing it through the night. And that's it. It's as exciting as it can be.
I know.
And we're expecting a hectic few days ahead,
It's been so crazy just in the last few weeks, because there have been so many photos of the set as it's been built, and it's very well. And I'll say two things real quick before I unleash you, Brojdar, to give us the details. The first is, of course, spoiler alert: we're going to be talking about what the pictures and stuff on the set and what's been revealed so far as the filming of Star Wars Episode 8. So a lot of this stuff isn't officially released material. So we always like to put our spoiler alert up as we speculate and have some fun trying to uncover the secrets inside the Star Wars Episode 8 filming. And the other thing is that's the interesting thing about this filming. We actually are seeing stuff. Like, unlike Episode 7, where, there may have been a handful of leaked images, as they constructed the set, it seemed to be fairly open to the public, and we've already had a pretty good look at some of these locations as it's building up and as they're getting ready to film, which I think is just amazing that we're actually getting a little bit more of a visible filming process, at least as compared to Star Wars Episode 7. And that I have a hunch that might be Rian Johnson, the director, maybe a little bit less secretive, perhaps, than J.J. Abrams, which I think is cool. But anyway, there we go. Fair warnings, all legal obligations out of the way. We're ready to dig into this. So, Brojdar, what has happened in Dubrovnik since we last spoke?
Talk about open-ended question.
I know.
A lot has happened. When we last spoke, we were the only media, we're not the media, we are a fan blog, but we were the only ones who were dedicated solely to, the filming of Star Wars Episode 8 in Dubrovnik. But as it goes, since, everything got confirmed, and especially now when they started closing down the sets and started filming, all the media from all over, especially the national media from Croatia, they're all here. That's why you see so much material. We make some of our own material, but there's so much people around that, new photographs, new clips, whatever, it's all coming out, in rapid succession. So we're just trying to sort of keep our heads above water and sort of keep track of it all.
Oh, I imagine. I imagine. In fact, let's go through some of it, because we've had a lot of shots of the set as it's been complete. We kind of had a general picture of the look of it, because, of course, Dubrovnik is known for its sort of medieval architecture, specifically from Game of Thrones. But now we have there seems to be a bit of a modern twist to it.
This is the amazing thing. The sets have been quite open. As you saw, the sets are done in one of the most visited streets in the city, the most visited. So it was incredible in the past few weeks to be able to walk around the sets freely.
Any security, or is there anybody there? You just could kind of watch them as they built everything up around you.
There's a lot of security, but since, you know, when the sets are not closed, they are on a public street, so it's not like people can prevent you from walking down the public street, you know.
Yeah.
And they close it first. The announcement, they are kind of cautious with the announcements. They said 9th to 17th in the morning of March, you know, we're going to close the sets. So the way they said it, it was like they're going to close the sets all the time. But basically now we'll see what's going to happen in the next few days. But for now, they're leaving the sets open for the public in the morning, with some of the props and all that stuff covered. So we are still able to walk around. I mean, as I said, public streets, people, you know, locals, tourists alike, everybody keeps walking around. There's a lot of security, because they're cautious of anybody, you know, damaging anything or anything like that, you know. And if you want to, you know, like take some shots for some, you know, commercial purposes, they're obviously not going to let you do it.
Yeah.
With the you know, movie sets in the background. But
man, talk about, like, if you wanted to advertise a local business and cash in on the Star Wars hype machine,
yeah,
they,
exactly,
I can see why
exactly.
They don't want that. Well, and we've seen some incredible stuff that they've been building on the set. What's some of the stuff that we've seen in terms of, like, costumes, vehicles? We're seeing some other stuff like that.
Yeah, well, the first set that started building up was the Main Street set. And there were a lot of these sort of columns and door portals, which were kind of round with sort of futuristic doors and panels to them. We've seen some what seemed to be land speeders. Today we saw something that looks like an aquatic vehicle. There's a ship in Dubrovnik that's used for filming. Apparently, you know, it's not officially confirmed, but yeah, it's used for filming. And that one was fitted with what seems to be like big screens. Maybe they'll do green screen on it. And I'm very excited about that ship, because I don't know what that means. Will we have like...
That is one of the most intriguing ones that I saw on the blog. And we'll have links to each of these stories on the Star Wars Report website. Look for episode 213. We'll have it in the show notes. But it looks kind of like a cruise ship, but they've got the entire top deck, at least from some of these spy photos, with some kind of lighting rig.
Yeah, it's like an event ship. You can do whatever you want. I mean, it's multifunctional, you know. But it does have a huge straight flat deck on top where, you know, they did something, you know. They did some screens and they did some props. So I don't know, is that going to be like a flyer in the movie, or is it going to be like a ship? Is it going to be like an aquatic vehicle? Because we haven't seen a lot of action on water in Star Wars, so
no.
I would love to see something like that.
No, in fact, the closest thing we've ever seen was underwater from The Phantom Menace, and then maybe there's a little bit in some of the animated cartoons, but certainly in terms of like a big theatrical Star Wars film, the idea of actually having a ship, now that's kind of cool. Now, of course, the ship itself, it looks like that's not what's used, but if you look on the deck, they've got lighting, they've got green screen material there, if you can see, and that's really cool. And that's really what I'm seeing in some of the I'm actually going to go ahead and jump to a post that you guys had from a couple days ago, and it's some of the first costumes that we've seen. These specifically, though, the ones I wanted to ask you about is these, I believe this is from Duelist. The Duelist photographer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's these really cool, frankly, kind of Mandalorian-esque armor. It's obviously not Mandalorian, but it's this really cool costumes that look like some sort of third-party militaristic unit. Where do we know where this was taken, or any more information about this?
This was taken above Banya Beach, which is a beach just outside the city walls, so right next to the historical district. And so right next to the
beach. This is where we saw that aquatic vehicle.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay.
And right next to the beach is a big hotel that I think they're using for, you know, something. Maybe the production people are there or something like that. Maybe they're using their garage. I don't know.
Gotcha.
But it seems to be like a sort of a headquarter for a lot of things. So there's always somebody, you know, there with a camera, you know.
Oh, I bet.
You know, looking from a safe distance. Now, yeah, I saw the armor. The guys from Duel East are saying that maybe they caught a glimpse of Mark Hamill. But from the photograph, it's a good photograph, but I can't really make out the face of a guy. Could be, but I wouldn't go, you know, I wouldn't call it an evidence, a decisive evidence, just on basis of that photograph.
Yeah, I don't think it's a certainty, but man, it's a really cool look, and it's different. It's sort of like, if I were to describe it just for the audio listeners, it reminds me of sort of an imperial coat and belt, but then it has a really cool kind of black cape and helmet that has a very, you know, almost Vader-esque. Not the face mask portion of the helmet, but sort of the portion that covers the very top of the head and down over the rear of the neck. It's sort of got this Vader-esque shape to it, but the color scheme is very much, it's black and white in a way that we haven't seen. So I'm wondering, maybe it's something to do with the First Order, but I honestly think this looks like something completely different, and it's like some sort of third-party military unit.
Yeah, they're saying the look reminds of, you know, AT-ST commanders, you know.
Yes, that's what I was looking for.
The Walker, yeah. Could be, but we haven't seen anything in the way of Walkers in Dubrovnik.
Well, that's true. And then you do get this, cool. and that's the general shape of the helmet, but it does have this sort of layered look to it that doesn't look unlike maybe a samurai helmet. Which is, of course, right. What the Vader helmet was originally based on. But that's really cool stuff. And the fact of the idea of an aquatic vehicle, like, this is the fun speculation period. And this is, like, just full disclosure, this is where I will follow the production as we can see all these cool sets and stuff. But the second I start learning, like, specific plot details, that's when I become the spoiler phobe, afraid of all things movie plots. But, like, right now I can relish in the delight of just kind of seeing some of the sets and costumes, and I can't imagine how much better they'll look on the big screen itself. And then we did, and speaking of duelists, so it looks like they also got a couple shots of some other costumers here. What are we looking at here in terms of these celebratory costumes? Looks like maybe some sort of ceremonial garb. Yeah,
they look kind of ceremonial. I have absolutely no idea what those are. I don't know if I've seen anything similar. I think you are a bit of more of a Star Wars buff than I am, but I don't find them. I don't think they remind me of anything specific, really.
Yeah, it's hard to say. It just sort of looks like a generic sort of populous extras, but they are some cool costumes, and I believe from the look of it, they are wearing these large overcoats that might be intentional when it comes to maybe not showing the full costume. So
yeah, maybe. I don't know if you noticed a few days ago, the photograph that really got me excited was the entrance to the Dominican monastery, which looks like a huge temple.
No, I see. I saw the short video clip of the stunt being performed that was taken from an Instagram user.
That's in front of that Dominican monastery.
I'm guessing that's not the actual shot itself that you're thinking of, though.
No. I'm thinking of, well, now since we are talking on radio, I don't think I don't know if there's a point in me sending you the link.
Well, if you want to pop it over sometime, if you see it during our conversation, you can pop it down in the Skype chat, and I can take a look and see get an idea of what we're looking at as we go through some of the rest of these photos. But since I brought it up, I'll also say that stunt performance. So it looks like everything isn't going to be peaceful and quiet in location is.
Yeah. One thing we didn't really say in one of our earlier posts is that people who are living in the old town, which is the area where the filming is goes on, have gotten official notices saying, you know, excuse us if you hear any maybe small explosions or, you know, effects being performed, stuff like that. Don't be alarmed. It's all part of the filming. So it's not going to be peaceful and quiet. I'll tell you that.
Indeed. Well, it's not called Star Peace. It's no, that's so true. No, and you just sent it over in the Skype. Yeah, that's incredible. The architecture they have built for this sort of grand entrance, and you said this is an old monastery.
This is the entrance to the Dominican monastery complex, it's been in Dubrovnik since the 13th century, but the current look it got in the 16th century mostly. But basically, if you see the stairs, those are the stairs that the stunt guy jumped off.
Oh, now clip. I'm piecing it together. Okay. Yeah.
And if you see the image from inside where I show the railings on the opposite side of the entrance, that's probably where they do, like, you know, strings attached to the guy to pull them and all that stuff, because the way he jumped, it was more like an explosion was sort of.
I'm gonna watch this right here live on air and take a quick look here. Here it is. Ooh, and so you hear the crowd kind of, there's a little bit of a, it seems like a few onlookers, and someone was in the set as they filmed, and you see the guy, I mean, flung across the way, looking like maybe if it were an actual real explosion, it would be him flying away from it, from the pressure, which is, man, that's really cool.
Yeah, but this is the thing. This is why I'm really excited, and I'm getting to be more so every day. excuse me. Because if you see all these, you know, you see this entrance and there's like light fixtures on the wall and there's all this stuff above the entrance and all that. That the fact that they made all this means it's not going to be green screened a lot.
That's the thing you see is so much physical construction around, because they're already using a beautiful physical location that does have that strong sort of medieval look, but with this really classical architecture. But they're also just kind of accentuating it with practical set builds that kind of like you mentioned at the entrance there, where they've kind of Star Wars'd it up a little bit to where it looks like something that you would recognize in the Star Wars planet.
Exactly. They managed to transform it a lot without basically adding too much. They just added some light fixtures and the thing you see above the entrance, and that's it. And today they added some doors and stuff like that. But what my point is after people see the movie and actually come to Dubrovnik, whoever comes to Dubrovnik, will be able to find these locations and actually recognize them from the screen.
No, and absolutely.
Yeah, this is what makes me excited.
Hey, you know, it worked for New Zealand. I mean, I'll tell you that with of course all the Lord of the Rings sets. So it's kind of cool that you guys get to be, because yes, there are some Game of Thrones fans out there, but I have a feeling that this movie might just kind of take things up a notch.
Yeah, I think I wrote about this. Star Wars is obviously has a much bigger fan base than virtually any other movie, I think.
Pretty much.
But with regards to the actual production, you know, Star Wars has been winning hearts with the Dubrovnik people for like 4 or 5 years. And they've been really cool, and sort of the whole cast was sort of really loose in the city. I mean, not loose, but, you know, they were sort of friendly and went around and had fun in the city and all that stuff. So we all kind of like them, you know?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, I wish I would be able to say this but this production is obviously much more expensive, so they're sort of keeping them to themselves a lot, and they're very much controlling the information coming out. I think there's a lot of like leaks, but I don't think those are really leaks. I think production knows well what they're doing, And if they're letting some information out, is for people like us to be able to, you know, transmit them to the world and do some promotion for the film, you know, for free.
Well, and if I may, I mean, we were conversing back and forth via email earlier this week, and I was kind of surprised, like, man, have you heard of, like, with all these different press and media filming the set, like, have you heard of Disney coming down, dropping the ban hammer, saying, hey, take that down? And the fact is, no, they're really actually kind of showing off their production to, I think, a healthy extent. Now, I don't think they're going to we're not going to get, like, professional portraits of Mark Hamill in costume, probably. But right. We're getting to see, you know, the process unfold. And even with the filming, that's kind of what I think is cool, is it sounds like they're not keeping the entire Main Street closed. They're actually letting the public go in between filming, which is amazing.
Yeah, I would never – I mean, that's not to say that they're not going to close everything down tomorrow, okay?
That's true. You never
because
know.
Because they practically announced it like a month or two ago. But they are being quite open with a lot of the information. Now, obviously, people need to be careful not to sort of take advantage of that, because I'm perfectly aware that productions like this have a very able team of lawyers who can rain down hell on anybody who, you know, takes it a step too far. But with regards to just shooting stuff that's on, out in the open, in the public street, without that street being closed, you know, nobody's causing any problems,
yeah,
you know, and nor they should.
No, know? that is so awesome. And so, well, before we go, I do have one final thing. So you've kind of mentioned it and danced around a little bit as far as, like, the cast and who's actually filming in Dubrovnik. We don't know for certain, but we do know Daisy Ridley's stunt double, Chloe Bruce, is there. Have you heard any other rumors about who is and isn't filming in Dubrovnik?
I heard so many rumors. I really don't want to go into a lot of them.
Sure.
One name that keeps popping up is Benicio del Toro. I wish. I really like him. He's one of my favorite actors. He actually visited Dubrovnik last year. He was here for vacation, you know.
We get a
certain amount of Hollywood celebrities here. Well, George Lucas was here.
That's right.
But his name, for some reason, keeps popping up. I don't know. Maybe that's an indication. Maybe it's just, you know, he's a new character. We are a new location, so people, you know. But I think he might end up showing. We'll see. People keep mentioning him for some reason.
Well,
it's all rumors.
And the game here's basically, and if episode 7 was any indication, the game kind of will proceed like this. Someone will spot him at a restaurant somewhere, and then the game is up.
Yeah, this is a very small town. It's very difficult to keep anything a secret. And all those growing up in Dubrovnik, all the teenagers, once they start going out, they know it's hard to keep anything a secret
because
their parents know what they did the day after.
I bet. Well, the website is StarWarsDubrovnik.com. Dubrovnik is, of course, spelled Dubrovnik. That's Dubrovnik with a K. And Brojadar, thank you so much for coming on the Star Wars Report podcast and kind of giving us some insight into the filming process. As we record today, it's Friday the 11th. They've just wrapped the first day of filming in Dubrovnik, Croatia. Again, make sure you head over to StarWarsReport.com. Check out episode 213 of the podcast, and you'll find links to a lot of the stories that we've been talking about, along with some of the photos we've covered. It's a very exciting time, I'm sure, in Dubrovnik. And also, I also want to make sure you're following at StarWarsDBK on Twitter for all the latest, if you're one of the Twitter folks like I am. Have I covered everything, Brojadar? Anything else you'd like to leave the good listeners of the Star Wars Report with?
Well, nothing much. I mean, keep following all the news and all the goings on, and then hopefully book your tickets to Dubrovnik in the near future.
There you go.
We'll be here. It's one thing on a very personal note. One thing I really like about this whole thing is I mean, there are a lot of locations that, that Star Wars did film on, but this location is not just a location. It's an actual living city. And these streets that, that are going to appear in the movie are, you know, streets that we all walked on and you know, have a lot of fond memories tied to them. And it's really a special, special thing to see, you know, this going on at places where you, you know, went out with your friends or had your first kiss or whatever, you know?
No, absolutely.
So, yeah, we're loving it. We're
that
loving
is
it.
Amazing. That's so true. That's so true. It's such a special privilege, too. So, folks, thanks so much for tuning into the segment. Brojdar, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, man. Oh, my goodness. Folks, that puts the wraps on this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. Folks, thanks so much for tuning in. It's been an absolute blast. Man, what a great jam-packed episode. Huge thank you to Brojdar Jukic of StarWarsDubrovnik.com. Again, make sure that you check all of the awesomeness out over there. We do appreciate you guys giving us the inside sauce. Of course, you know, not a lot of details in terms of the plot, which is the way I like it, but we're seeing some early photos, some set pictures of costumes and vehicles and sets, and they're being kind of open about it. That's what's cool. They're leaving the sets open to the public. To some degree. So it's that time. It's that time of year. Episode 8 filming. Folks, again, thanks so much for tuning into this episode. Again, thank you to everybody on our Patreon who has supporting the show. As we record this on Friday evening, we're getting ready to do our new weekly bonus content for our patron supporters. So if you want to jump on at any level, catch our weekly episode of Star Wars Rebels commentaries. And man, Shroud of Darkness is going to be a fun one. But that's going to put the wraps on this week's episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. If you want to contact us, shoot us an email, starwarsreport@gmail.com. We have this amazing email from Ryan that I'm going to dig into next week going over. We've kind of talked a little bit about it with David Collins a couple weeks ago. The process for these fan edits, these clippings together to get the complete scores of the prequels. And he's actually done a lot of work on these sorts of things, and it's some really cool projects and insight and maybe even some music you haven't heard before in its raw form. And Ryan sends us the inside sauce on that. We don't have time for it this week, but we're going to do that next week on the program again. So if you want to email us like Ryan did, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. Man, also make sure that you're staying in touch with us on Twitter. I'm at The Riley Guy, R-I-L-E-Y, The Riley Guy on Twitter. Mark is at Illogical Rogue 2. You can follow him on Twitter there. You can also follow the Star Wars Report. It's at Star Wars Report. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/Star Wars Report. And finally, make sure you leave us a review on iTunes. We really do need some, we need all of the reviews we can get the word spread about Star Wars Report and the StarWarsReport.com family of podcasts. Whew! What an episode. What an episode. It's been the Star Wars Report podcast. 1 hour of pure, unadulterated Star Wars awesomeness. We will catch you guys next week. For Mark, for myself, for Brojdar, remember, many Bothans died a terrible, violent death to bring you this podcast.
Everything is going as I have foreseen.
Or proceeding.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is. Oh, wait. We can't finish it, Mark. We have one more thing. And normally it's just... it's just Whistler, but there's something else, too. Not to forget...
Many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
Now we are done. No.
I almost was going to go, cup.